Hello and welcome to Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Keshet Star, and today we're going to be learning Tehillim Perek Samech Dalid, chapter 64. In this perek, David begs Hashem to save him from evildoers, and then goes on to describe these evildoers, in the process sharing fascinating insights on the nature of evil itself. Shema Elokim koli v'sichi, David says in Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Hear my voice, O God, when I plead. Mi pachad oyev titzor chayai, save my life from the enemy's terror. David goes on to describe how these evildoers operate. They whet their tongues like swords, we hear in Pasuk Dalid. They aim their arrows, which are davar mar, or cruel words, to shoot. This theme of cruel words continues in Perek Vav. Yechazku lamo davar ra, they arm themselves with evil words, and when they speak, it is to conceal traps. But let's pause for a moment and ask a question. If I had to discuss evil and think of the most evil thing that a person could do to another person, I would probably focus on actions, war, violence, physical attacks. Isn't that as evil gets? And so how come in this perek, when David is expounding on the nature of evil, the focus is repeatedly on language and not actions, on evil words as opposed to evil deeds? So there are two approaches to this question that I want to share today, even though there are many, many others that we could discuss. First of all, as human beings, we often underestimate the impact of words and language. We've often heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And yet psychology in modern days has repeatedly showed that this is not actually the case. In one specific psychological study, volunteers were asked to recall a painful memory and then to take a test afterwards. And the idea was to see how much worse they performed on the test after recalling this painful experience. And what the psychologists running the study found was that universally, pretty much, participants who recalled a sort of social painful memory, being left out of the lunch table conversation, for example, performed much more poorly on the test than participants who recalled a physical painful memory, like breaking their ankle. And I think many of us know intuitively that despite that saying, words really do hurt deepest very often. And the things that we say to each other that cut each other down, that embarrass or humiliate one another, those can actually have a much more profound impact in some respects than a sort of physical attack. So on one level, perhaps David is focusing on language and words because the Tehillim are already picking up on what we are learning in psychology today, which is that words matter and words matter enormously. Second of all, Rabbi Zelig Pliskin offers an insight here that the perek may be focusing on language because all actions are actually ultimately rooted in language. The human mind is an extraordinary thing. It's capable of creating reasons and stories and narratives and frameworks to get us pretty much anywhere that we want to go. And while that creativity is incredibly exciting and powerful, it also contains some risk, which is that as human beings, we have an enormous ability to rationalize. There is an old saying, we have a lot of old sayings today, that the first time you do something wrong, you feel guilty. The second time, you don't feel so guilty. And the third time, it's a mitzvah. So as human beings, we have a real ability to convince ourselves that we're doing the right thing and a good thing, and to really engage in mental gymnastics if we need to get to the result that we want. And so our ability to use language, even inside our own minds, not even to someone else, is incredibly powerful and incredibly dangerous as well, because it means that wherever we want to go, we will find a way in our minds to get ourselves there and to feel justified and empowered in taking that step. So when it comes to, again, the focus of language and the connection between language and evil, we see that, first of all, words matter, and that, second of all, words matter not only between each other, but even in terms of what we say in our own minds, because actions and behaviors start initially with what we tell ourselves, what we justify to ourselves, and what we allow ourselves to do within, again, the space of our own brains. In addition to these insights on the nature of evil, this parak also references another fascinating episode in Tanakh, which is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Rashi repeatedly connects language in this parak to language from Sefer Daniel, from the book of Daniel. So, for example, the reference to concealing traps in Pasuk Vav refers to the advisors to the king in the story of Daniel, who created these sort of seemingly neutral rules in order to entrap Daniel. So, to provide a little context, Daniel was an advisor to King Darius, and some of the other advisors really wanted to undermine him and undermine his power. So they suggested to Darius that he create a rule that for 30 days, no one can pray to anything besides the king. And seemingly, as we would say in legal terms on its face, that's a neutral law. That's just general. That's not about anyone specific. But of course, Daniel prayed to Hashem every day. And so sure enough, he violated the rule because he didn't wait 30 days before praying to Hashem. The advisors pointed this out. And Darius, even though he relied on Daniel and didn't want to do this, had to throw him into the lion's den, which was the built-in penalty of breaking this rule. So here we have an example of how evildoers work, that they use language in a very thoughtful and crafty way to create a situation that in the beginning doesn't seem like such a problem, but that in the end causes enormous harm. Another reference to this sort of secrecy and concealed wrongdoing is in Pasuk Zion, which refers again to the plot against Daniel, which was again shrouded in secrecy. No one came out and said, "We are out to get this guy." It was done in a much more insidious and secretive way. Pasuk Chet goes on to note that Hashem will cast down the evildoers. And this references both the language and the story in Daniel, where the very advisors, the men who had plotted against Daniel, were ultimately punished by being cast to the lions themselves. And despite the many references to evil here in this parak, both broadly and in relation to the story of Daniel itself, the parak ends on a high note, really emphasizing the ultimate triumph of the righteous over the evildoers. When the Pasuk notes that Yismach Tzadik BaHashem, the righteous will rejoice with Hashem, Rashi again connects this to Daniel, saying that here is an example of a righteous person who rejoiced with God. Ultimately, the parak reminds us that despite the prevalence of evil in the world and despite the power of evil and evildoers, those who follow Hashem righteously will always prevail in the end. Thank you so much for learning with us, Li'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.